wishing all Radio Aryan listeners a happy Christmas and a diversity-free new year.
Tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, the 7th of December, 2018, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAryan.com. Well, the first story I've got today is more proof of what we've been saying about this transgender issue, where because the doctors are too scared to suggest that there might be another reason for the patient's delusions other than transgenderism, dangerous other conditions are not being diagnosed because of this. And in America, we've had a child murder their parents, which obviously shows that there's more to their problem than transgender issues. And this must be awful for the rest of the family. A teenager who said she killed her parents and the family's pet dog because of struggles with her gender identity has been sentenced to 40 years in jail. Andrea Bulsa was 17 at the time when she snapped and fatally stabbed her parents, Alice and Antonio Bulsa, at their home in Winthrop, Maine, on October 31st, 2016. Bulsa alleged she was struggling to deal with her transition from male to female and that her family offered her no support during this time. Bulsa also claimed she was molested for years by her mother and physically and mentally abused by her father, accusations the rest of the family fervently denied. After launching the frenzied attack, which included stabbing her mother 9 times, Bulsa then killed the family's chihuahua because it kept on barking, reports Central Maine. Well, the fact that she killed the dog, or he killed the dog, because it kept on barking, that just shows you that this is somebody that has a mental problem and that is extremely violent and could have just flipped at any time. Was the dog refusing to acknowledge that he was transgender? And this just shows you that what she's saying about how this is the parents' fault is a load of nonsense. This is somebody that would have killed anybody that was in the room at the time. Somebody with anger issues. And obviously the doctor couldn't say, well, I think actually you've got delusional anger issues, because that wouldn't have been affirming the transgender identity of the patient. And now we've ended up with a parents being murdered because of this, and the brother has lost his parents thanks to this. Bulsa, now aged 20, pleaded guilty to 2 counts of intentional or knowing murder and 1 count of aggravated cruelty to animals at the Capitol Judicial Center in Augusta, Maine, in September. Appearing at the same court, Bulsa asked for forgiveness from the rest of her family while being sentenced to 40 years in jail. "I made a terrible mistake, one that cost the lives of the 2 people that gave me life and raised me," Bulsa said, reports Central Maine. "I am only here to ask for 1 thing, and that is the forgiveness of my family." The defendant's brother, Christopher Bulsa, who Bulsa spared on the night of the attack, wrote a letter to her in prison to say how he had not forgiven her. "I remember the foul things you accused her of and the looks of horror upon the family's faces as they heard about them. You are an inhuman creature, and the fact that you continue to print otherwise sickens me," he wrote, reports Central Maine. Carl Pierce, Alice Bulsa's brother, told the court the 20-year-old's claims she did not receive any support during her transition were an insult to our family, an insult to our society, and an insult to the LGBTQ community. There was no hatred, there was no malice, there was no ill will. There was resignation, to be sure, but ultimately there was acceptance, he said. To justify these killings because of sexual identity or gender dysphoria beliefs is truly a cowardly act. Andrea should be ashamed of herself for it. It is so obvious that people that think that they are the opposite sex, they are delusional. They have mental problems. We know that they are far more likely to go on to actually kill themselves after having this operation, when they realize that actually it doesn't actually turn them into a woman. It will just leave them with a wound where their genital organs used to be that will always be trying to repair itself for the rest of their life. They can't change their DNA. They're being lied to by the doctors that they can turn themselves into a woman. And when they realize that they can't, it just makes everything all that much worse for them. Besides the fact that a lot of these people that claim to be like this, they've got schizophrenia, they've got bipolar issues, a lot of them have got body dysmorphia, real mental cases, mental patients, and the rest of us are being forced to confirm their delusions. And we're going to see more crazed killings like this, I think, where people aren't actually identified as having violent disorders because the doctors are just too terrified to actually diagnose that. They can't even ask these patients whether they have violent thoughts because they run the risk of being struck off for not reaffirming the transgender identity. And these people that speak about this are being attacked. There's another professor that's in the news today from Reading University who is saying, look, there you cannot change your biology. And she's getting death threats. She's getting bottles of urine thrown at her, put on her office door. She's had to call the police up with threats of murder. And these are the left-wing activists. When do right-wing activists ever threaten anybody with murder or throw bottles of urine? I mean, this is all left-wing behavior, and yet we're being taught that it's the right wing that is the threat. It's the right wing that are the terrorists. It's not us. We are the normal people in this with common sense views, central views, views that are based on nature and on natural law. Yet we're made out to be the enemy. We're made out to be the threat to the public and the threat to the nation, the nationalists, the ones that actually love their nation. Macron says we are somehow traitors for loving our nation. Well, you can see how much the nation loves Macron at the moment over there in France. I really don't think he's going to still be president of France by the end of the weekend. It looks like there's going to be a vote of no confidence that's going to be pushed through. I am hoping that there's going to be a vote of no confidence pushed through with Theresa May as well. These people that are claiming to be leading us are just leading our countries into ruin. Well, I got another news story here from Germany. A new booklet for daycare workers that claims to help identify Nazi parents suggests looking out for girls with braided hair and athletic boys. So they are now saying that girls that like to wear their hair in traditional braids must be Nazis. Their parents must be Nazis. And any boys that actually take care of their body and enjoy sports, well, they must be Nazis too. In order to not look like a Nazi, I guess you have to be obese and maybe transgender. I mean, this is basically saying that normality is now Nazi. The 60-page booklet entitled Eeny, Meeny, Muh, and You're Out was designed by the far-left, quote-unquote, anti-hate Amadou Antonio Foundation, which is headed by former Stasi informant Annette Kahan and based in Berlin, with the foreword being written by Social Democrat SPD Family Minister Franziska Giffey, the Berliner Courier reports. Well, Annette Kahan is obviously Jewish, as well as a former Stasi informant. Why didn't they take all these Stasi informants to court and imprison them? How can they allow them to continue to have important roles in Germany after what the Stasi did in Germany? I don't know. Miska Hahn made headlines in 2015 after the German government recruited her and the foundation to scour social media for xenophobic posts during the height of the migrant crisis. So they're using ex-communists to snoop on people's social media to see if they are criticizing their replacement. This is what's going on. We've been replaced in our own countries, and they're being quite open about it, and they're doing all they can to try to stop people from speaking about it. And we've actually got some good news on that later on today, which we'll hear about. But this is not looking good in Germany. The Amadou Antonio Foundation defended the booklet, claiming that the case studies were based on real-life cases they had witnessed, including a girl with braided hair whose parents turned out to be far-right extremists. Well, just look at that logic. Because there was a girl with braided hair whose parents were nationalists doesn't mean that every girl that has braided hair means their parents are nationalists. I mean, basic common sense has just been thrown out of the window here. I mean, they could say, well, rapists were black and had black dreadlocks, therefore all blacks are rapists. I mean, you'd be accused of racism for that, but nobody seems to be accusing this organization of discrimination against white people by saying girls with braided hair, their parents must all be Nazis. They are also claiming that since the release of the booklet, their phones have been slammed with complaints. Good. The case studies echo research presented by Antifa groups in 2016, which claimed that Volkish families, those who believe in countryside living and traditional German culture and values, posed a threat to Germany. Think about that. People that hold traditional German values now pose a threat to Germany. People who hold traditional British values now apparently pose a threat to Britain as well. This new British values that they talk about, they're nothing to do with British values. They're humanitarian values that came out of the Soviet Union. Anti-fascist action group member Olaf Meyer warned of young couples who buy farms and restore them together with their relatives and friends. And this is something that lots of people aspire to doing, is buying a second home and doing it up, buying an old barn or an old farmhouse and doing it up. It certainly doesn't mean that anybody is a nationalist. Maybe I can see in the future that people that do these things are going to be pushed towards nationalism by this very behaviour. The Amadou Antonio Foundation has been roundly criticised in the past, not just for Kahan's former Stasi ties, but also for their methods, which have been likened to the old East German secret police. In 2016, the organisation was protested by the anti-mass migration youth activist Identitarian Movement, which put up Stasi logo stickers on the foundation's Berlin office, along with another sticker saying, "Enter the surveillance state." Kahan and the foundation later threatened to take the Identitarians to court over the incident. We are living in a surveillance state, and most of the time, we're stupid enough to do all we can to actually help it. And organizations like Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, they own all the content that you put on there. Everything that you are putting on there is the sort of content, the sort of information about you that the intelligence services used to have to pay a fortune to get. They used to have to follow people around. They used to have to get court orders to look at their private information. And now people are just willingly handing it over. All this information that used to be private, because they think it's going to improve their social life to be doing so. And then you've got the so-called hidden places where people can talk, places like Discord or Telegraph, various apps, various rooms where people can think that they can have a private chat. And now those are being handed over to the government. I mean, you really should not be saying anything on the internet that you are not prepared, not going to be prepared to justify in a court of law. If you're going to be saying things that are not legal to be saying in public, you really shouldn't be saying them on the internet, especially if you're not able to justify them. That's the thing, is being able to justify them. Don't think that you are safe on Discord or in a private chat room anywhere, because you're not. I mean, this is the reason why we have a public chat room at Radio Aryan, to prevent people from thinking that they can put anything illegal in there. The reason for that is to help you listeners, to encourage you not to say anything illegal. We have a public chat room. It also shows that we're not trying to hide anything. We're quite open about what we're doing here. We are trying to have a positive influence on nationalists. We're trying to do good things here. We're proud of what we're doing here. Non-nationalists might not like the language that we use, but we're not doing it in public. We're not trying to offend people. We're just talking freely. And if any of our listeners there haven't actually checked out the chat room, I do recommend people go in there. We're a good bunch. You'll have a good conversation in there. If you've got any questions about things, you can ask it in there. Most of the people in there are fairly knowledgeable, and we've got people from all over the world in there, all over Europe, all over America. And it helps to talk to other white people around the world and find out what's going on in their countries, because the same problems are happening everywhere. Communist political oppression academic and Stasi expert Dr. Hubertus Knabe also came out against Kahan in 2016, saying that it was incomprehensible to allow her the ability to have control over what people say online, given her past. It's precisely because of her past that that's why they have employed her. But they know damn well that what they're doing is exactly the same as what the communists did. That's why they've employed her. They're a communist organisation. They're run by anti-fascists. The booklet has also sparked a petition on change.org to cut the funding the foundation receives from German taxpayers, with over 5,500 signatures at the time of publication. The petition singles out the booklet, saying the Amadou Antonio Foundation, under the guise of fighting hate speech, is calling on citizens to denounce, report, or criminalise other citizens. And that is the whole point of hate speech legislation, is to get so that they can criminalize just normal people, so that they can criminalize white people and what white people talk about, the concerns that we have, this insane idea that it's us talking about the problems of the country that radicalizes people rather than the problems of the country themselves. It's what the state is doing to us. That's what radicalizes people. When they see that the schools are filling up with non-whites, when they see that the jails are filling up with non-whites, the hospitals are filling up with non-whites, and when they see terrorist acts going off, when they see kiddies being blown up in Manchester, when they hear about grooming gangs raping our young girls, that's what radicalizes people. It's not listening to us on the internet. Once they have already woken up to this, then they find us. And then we're the ones here at Radio Aryan that try to prevent them from doing stupid things and taking the law into their own hands. It wasn't Radio Aryan that Darren Osborne was listening to. Darren Osborne was watching the BBC, and he said that in his letter. He said that the reason why he was doing what he was doing was because of the Manchester bombing, because of the grooming gangs, and because he just watched a documentary on grooming gangs on the BBC. And all of those were talking about real-life events. He wasn't encouraged to do what he did by Tommy Robinson or anybody else. He thought of doing that himself. And if he'd actually been listening to nationalist media for any length of time, he would have realised that he would have been advised not to do anything so stupid as that. But as I've said before, he had learning difficulties anyway, and he'd likely to flip out at anything. He could have flipped out at watching a horror movie as much as anything else. Anyway, we have got some good news today. We've got a couple of really good stories, actually. And this concerns the Global Compact, British members of Parliament must consider an official petition against the United Nations Global Compact for Migration after it smashed 100,000 signatures. And of course, we've been trying to encourage people to sign that all week. We've been putting a link to that petition at the bottom of every article. The British government is committed to issuing an official response to any petition which reaches 10,000 signatures, although it has left the UN Compact petition unanswered for 12 days now, while petitions which break the 100,000 signature mark must be considered by Parliament's Backbench Business Committee for a full debate. Now, this is interesting, this, because they haven't talked about it at all so far, because all they've been doing is talking about Brexit. But Theresa May has actually been boasting that she was responsible for some of the wording in this. She was responsible for some of the wording in this, which basically says that there's no difference between refugees and migrants, that it's a human right for anyone to break down the borders of another country, and that anybody that criticizes that, that's going to be hate speech. That's basically what this compact is. And of course, because of that, a large number of countries have refused to go along with it. Hungary, Austria, Poland, the Czech Republic, Croatia, Bulgaria, Slovenia, Slovakia, Australia, and the United States have all said they're not going to go along with this. In the United Kingdom, however, despite the prominence of mass migration and the public's concerns over it in the national discourse in recent years, and despite the Tory government having made unfulfilled pledges to reduce net immigration from the hundreds of thousands to the tens of thousands in three successive elections, the compact has barely registered in the mainstream media. As I say, perhaps as a result of Brexit dominating the newscape. Now, I think Theresa May really wants to go along with this. She's got to go. She's got to try and push through her Brexit plan this week. And there's no way that that's actually going to get through Parliament. And just as an aside, and this, I think, just exemplifies why we shouldn't have women in politics. I mean, I've said again and again that Theresa May should never have been making a deal, because women are no good at making deals. But Andrea Leadsom, who was put forward as an alternative prime minister in order to get people to vote for Theresa May. If you remember at the time, it was a choice between Andrea Leadsom, Theresa May and Michael Gove. Michael Gove was slandered for stabbing Boris Johnson in the back. And then the press was saying, well, it's got to be Andrea Leadsom or Theresa May. Andrea Leadsom got no experience whatsoever. So the only people that people could actually vote for was Theresa May. Well, Andrea Leadsom, who was supposedly a Brexiteer that wanted to leave the EU, she's now saying that the government should all be voting for Theresa May's Brexit deal. Now, why would she be saying that? Her reason for saying that is because Theresa May has worked so hard on it. Not that it's a good deal, but just because Theresa May's worked hard on it, we should vote for it. And that just shows you that women think emotionally. They don't think logically. She thinks that is a valid reason for voting for something is just because somebody has worked hard at it. I mean, it's ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous. Women think differently to men. And we should be making use of that fact, not causing us harm through that by putting women in positions that they're not going to be as good at as men. Back to this petition. The petition rapidly acquired over 100,000 signatures despite the near total lack of coverage, almost entirely through online word of mouth and grassroots activism. Therefore, it seems highly significant, especially with the embattled Prime Minister due to sign the compact in Morocco just days before a seminal vote on her deal with the European Union, in which she looks set to go down to a historic defeat. And it is really a testament to the alternative media that we managed to get 100,000 people to sign that petition, because there's not been a word of it in the mainstream media. The mainstream media may talk, some of them like the Daily Express and the Daily Mail, they may talk about how they want Brexit, but they certainly don't talk about putting a stop to immigration. That's something that we here at the alternative media are doing. Well, as I said, we've got another good news story to bring you today, and this concerns pornography. A major microblogging and social networking site has announced that it will delete all adult content, pornography, on its platform. Tumblr, which is owned by Verizon, is saying goodbye to sexual content and nudity for good. Just a few weeks after finding child pornography had made its way onto the platform, despite filters meant to prevent such occurrences, Apple's App Store quickly dumped Tumblr after the discovery. Photos, videos, or GIFs that show real-life human genitals or female-presenting nipples and any content, including photos, videos, GIFs, and illustrations that depict sex acts, are now banned, according to a statement issued by Tumblr. Exceptions will be made for classical statues, nudity found in art, as well as birth or afterbirth moments and health-related situations such as post-mastectomy. There will also be an exception for gender confirmation surgery photos. Well, you would think that everybody would be pleased with that, wouldn't you? You would think that people would be pleased that pornography is no longer going to be found on Tumblr, which a lot of kids use. You don't want kids seeing pornography. It's an absolute tragedy that young children are now exposed to pornography because of the internet. And at least this company are doing something about it. But no, there is a group in society who are really, really not happy about this. The LGBT world seems to have taken the announcement particularly hard. The surprise announcement met with shock, anger, and amusement across much of social media, according to Gay Star News. Some predict the site will see a massive downturn in traffic. Others have already announced they are closing their Tumblr pages. Some say they will instead post to Twitter, which continues to allow not safe for work content. Some have pointed out that Tumblr was a place for LGBTI, I'm not sure what the I stands for there, communities to explore and share adult material, continued the Gay Star News report. Others have said the site made it far too easy for children to view porn. Another LGBT-oriented site, The Advocate, went further, pointing out that many are worried that the new guidelines would lead to a targeted erasure of LGBTQ content. "They are trying to disappear us," tweeted LGBTQ activist Anthony Oliveira, which The Advocate says alludes to the largest trend of queer erasure happening at the behest of the Trump administration. Well, it looks like Tumblr is full of queer porn then, and good job too that they are removing it. Perhaps people should now join Tumblr to show them support, that they approve of the fact that they're removing porn from their website. And even better, if it was a hangout for homosexuals to put that stuff up there. I mean, who wants to see homosexual porn? Absolutely vile stuff, even worse than normal porn. It's the last thing you want to come across by accident, and certainly not something that you want kids seeing. So well done, Tumblr. Anyway, that brings us to the end of today's podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget that we do require donations to keep the website going, and we have got a Bitcoin wallet. You'll find a link to it at every page and also at the sidebar. I'll be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.